somebody's doing a workshop right now on math for students who don't like math, and I thought they probably shouldn't put those at the same time because a lot of us who don't love science, right, don't love teaching math. Okay, so yeah, that's completely me. I am a literature, I have a degree in music. I mean, all of that kind of right brain stuff is my strength. And science and math, whew, I've had to say, how do I do this thing? I don't even love elementary science, let alone chemistry and, you know, physics and all of those things. So hang in there. We're going to start kind of at the beginning of things, elementary. We're going to get all the way up to high school science. So if you came for high school stuff, we'll get there. But I want to talk to you, those of you who are starting out with elementary science, and just allow you to take a big breath right now. Because in 2003, we started homeschooling in 1997, and in 2003, I read an article written, it was actually an interview with Dr. Jay Weil. Does anybody know who that is? Okay, so he's the founder and original author of the Apologia materials. And Apologia, you know, big science curriculum provider, high school science, junior high science, and now they have elementary as well. But he said in this interview, and this is a man who has, I always have to check and see, he has a BS in chemistry and a PhD in nuclear chemistry. I don't even know what nuclear chemistry does. Like, I have no knowledge of what that is. But this is a man who knows and loves science. And in that interview, he said, elementary science isn't really science. It's nature study. It's learning about what God has created. It's exposing our children to the vocabulary of science and opening their eyes to the world around us, but you're not doing science. You're not doing science until you have higher math. That's science. And all of a sudden, I thought, okay, I can handle that. I can go out and study pond water. You know, we can look at animals, and we can look at the planets and weather systems, and we can put a rain gauge on our back porch, and we can do all those things. I can handle that. And so it did really free me up to say, this isn't so scary. And actually, maybe about a year ago, I messaged him on Facebook and I said, hey, Dr. Weil, I want you to know this little story, and that I tell moms now all the time in my workshop about not liking to teach science, that it's okay to not feel like you have to teach science in those elementary years. And he said, you know, I just wrote an elementary science curriculum. And I want you to tell those moms they don't need it. So here's an opportunity for him to plug his brand new series and for me to tell you about it. And he says, they don't need it. I wrote it for moms who love science and who wanted a guide to go by. But here is this nuclear chemist who has written all of the Apologia curriculum and started that company saying, you don't need it in the elementary years. So does that help? Does that make you feel like, okay, I can do nature study. I can expose my kids to creation. I can teach them about what God has done. We can go to the zoo. We can watch, you know, Nature Channel or whatever all those things are. We can hit hot topics like evolution, but it doesn't have to be this big, crazy discussion. It can just be sort of like, what do you think on that? Look what God has done. Look at these things. Let's just discover together, okay? So that's a beautiful thing about elementary science. Sorry, my papers want to stick. All right, so the first thing I want to do in these elementary years is tell you that you can do this one little bite at a time. But elementary science, we're going to look at some unit studies, okay? Everybody familiar with unit studies? Anybody not familiar with what I'm saying? Like, what's unit studies? You're all familiar? We're all good? Okay, so science, for those of us who don't love science, in unit studies is beautiful, okay? So I have an 18-year-old who's actually, okay, I just feel like this is so awesome. My 18-year-old is majoring in biology. My 16-year-old is going to major in biology. She wants to be in healthcare. He wants to be in health. I'm just, like, marveling at this. And it's not me. It is not me that did this. But why was I telling you that? Oh, so that 18-year-old, he loved turtles for years. Loved turtles. Collected little turtle things and turtle this and turtle that. And so I found online somewhere this turtle dissection kit. And we did this turtle unit study that I found online also, like, you know, notebooking pages and whatnot. We did this turtle unit study. And then I grabbed my girlfriend who loves science and loves to dissect things. And I said, you want to dissect a turtle on my back porch? She got all excited. She brought her kids over. They all dissected this turtle on the back porch, and I stayed inside and made cookies. It's like, you guys, that's you go do that, girl. And I let them all wash their hands and eat cookies afterwards. So unit studies are great. Grab onto something your child is interested in and go for that. I have a daughter right now who's big into cats. So we study cats. And let's see, this year we've done a lot. My 9-year-old loves science. He loves anything STEM related. And so that's been a little bit of like, okay, mom who's been homeschooling for 20 years, what are you going to do about that? And I've had to dive in and say, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. And I'll tell you what we're using this year for that. But first of all, let's look at some different kits and unit studies that are on the market. Now, there are probably more than just this, but to give you some things to jump into right away if you don't have resources. Konos is unit studies in a box. You order it, you get a box. There you go, ready to go. The other one that I don't actually have on here because it's kind of been new in our home is the Tinker Crates. Are you guys familiar with Tinker Crate? So it's a subscription-based thing that they get every month with some project in it. And this is my little STEM guy engineering up the wazoo. So he has made trebuchets, and he's made little cameras, and I don't even know. Oh, he made this little motorized pen that drew on paper by itself, you know, by running on batteries, and on and on and on. And this kid waits. In fact, he drives me crazy, like the third week of every month, because he knows the Tinker Crate's on its way. Did you get the email yet? Did they tell you it's coming yet? I'm going to go check the mail, like, every day for a week. So, yeah. Tinker Crate. Crate, yes, Tinker Crate. And they have Doodle Crate, which is art and craft kind of things, you know, like stamping and all that kind of stuff. And then they have one for elementary, and I believe it's called Kiwi Crate. And that, I mean, not elementary, for little kids, like kindergarten age, Kiwi Crates. But Tinker Crate, I would say 8 years old and up for a Tinker Crate, maybe to junior high. Okay, Science in the Beginning is another one of these that's out on the market. Okay, My Body is a book by Patty Caratello. You can get it on Amazon. I think it's about $8 maybe. And it is just a book that has every part of the body in like a way that you can color it and tells you what it does. So here's the brain. And color this area brown and color this area red and color this area does this. Okay, by the end of it, you lay them down on a big piece of butcher paper, you trace their bodies, and they can cut out every part of the body and stick it onto the right place in their body. That took us like 4 months to complete in our homeschool. That was our 4 months of anatomy science in elementary school. They love it. We took pictures of them standing by their human bodies. Heartsandtrees.blogspot.com. She's a homeschool grad who's put together fabulous kits that are on, that are, they, they're unit studies, so she'll take a subject like salt. She did salt one time, and I'm thinking, how do you do this? So she did a lot of like science project stuff with salt, but also some art projects where you painted things and then you put the salt on and then you washed it off. And I mean, it's just really, really creative. HomeScienceTools.com has all kinds of things like turtle dissection kit thing. You know, like if you're looking for something, oh, we're going to study wind and we need a sailboat kit because we're going to build that and put it in the pool. SteveSpanglerScience.com, if you get on his newsletter, you'll get a video at least once a week in your email that are really fun for the kids to watch. He's always like, you know, this is what happens when you hard boil an egg and blow it up, you know, or whatever. Like things that kids love to watch. Yeah, I know. TobinsLab.com, also a homeschool mom with homeschool graduates who's put together all kinds of wonderful things, including lap books, which I'm going to tell you about in a bit, too. Kim Wright, KYMWright.com. She's got some great unit studies. She has a microscope unit study, so that if you could get your hands on a microscope and just go through that unit study for the semester, your kids are grabbing hair and, slices of banana and whatever else and sticking it under the microscope and learning how to use a microscope and just discovering fun things. ShiningDawnBooks.com has wonderful unit studies, downloadable. We've done the pond unit study because we have a pond. That's actually our pond right by our house. And so the kids are just out there picking up stuff from the pond, and I'm kind of like, ooh, gross. But we did all the little things in the pond unit study book, and she has all kinds of things. Evan Moore is a traditional curriculum provider. Online, they have great downloadable unit study stuff. BlueYonderRanch.com has great little unit study things. We went out and collected all the mushrooms we could find one day and then mushroom stamped on paper and learned how not to touch certain parts of it so it wouldn't irritate our skin and, you know, all of that. ScienceBob.com also has some great videos and things, and then HowToTeachScience.com. I love that URL. That's right up my alley. Just tell me, how to teach science. Okay, so in addition, I said briefly about lap books. If you're not familiar, this is just a manila folder. This one happens to be red, this one happens to be blue, okay? You, instead of having it, like, you know, traditionally folded in half, you just fold it into thirds, okay? If you put in lap book in the Googs, my husband calls it the Googs, if you put a lap book in Google, you will find all kinds of free and also little paid for. People have created great lap book kits, okay? So this one, somebody in my home wanted to study reptiles, and they make all of these little, like, books and things like that. This one isn't too fabulous. This had to have been a young kid. I don't remember who it was, but based on the handwriting, they must have been, and the picture of the snake, like maybe four, I don't know. So anyways, they make all these little things, and what we love in our home about the lap book thing is that they're so proud of what they created that they run next door to tell their grandparents. They wait for daddy to come home. They pull them out. They look at them. And there you go. Now, again, it's reinforcement. They're reviewing all of those things because they want to show and tell, basically, what they did in their lap books. Okay? My 9 and 12-year-old go to community Bible study with me, which is like Bible study fellowship, or I don't know what you all have out here. But they have a wonderful children's program, and he came home this week with an amazing lap book they had created all year long in his CBS group. That was, you know, books of the Bible and just all the things that they had done. So lap books really can do anything you want them to do. But this is so inexpensive. And I believe this one on coral reefs was a free one I got off the internet. Okay? How easy is that? And you could do one little part of the lap book. These are little pages that went in here and all these little flip things. And see, he wrote things about each subject. You know, you could pick one thing a week. It's not that, you know, time intensive or anything. So, okay, those are lap books. All right, so if you would rather have a systematic curriculum to follow, the one that I love, it's been around for a long time, because I've been around homeschooling for a long time. It's called Considering God's Creation. Oops, sorry, you know what? This is the one I was going to tell you about that's Dr. J. Wiles' brand new elementary one, okay? I need to amend my notes so I remember to say that. But that's what his new one is, the Science in the Beginning elementary course, if you want that. But remember, he said you don't need it. So this is Considering God's Creation. This is what I'm using again this year. I've used it over the years, on and off again with different kids. It is great if you have a span of ages. So right now, the kids using this in my home are a 7th grader and a 3rd grader. Okay, and we do it together. So she is answering questions and talking with me about the little more advanced ideas that we're going through, and he's, you know, more basic, more third grade. But we're doing it all together. This is also, if they had lap books, it would be this kind of a thing, because what they're doing every week is creating little mini books and little cutout things. Yesterday or some whatever day we did it this week, Tuesday, I guess. We're now on the skeletal systems of animals, and so they were cutting out all the little bones and sticking them in the right places on the animals on the page, and they create a great big notebook by the end of the year. Super, super doable for a mom who doesn't like science, all right? I will tell you this, though. The first time I did it with my older kids, who are now 23 and 21, the 23-year-old ate it up, and he was probably 8 or 9 years old, and the 21-year-old was like, cut. You want me to paste? That was not his gig. And so I actually pre-cut every page for him and did all that. So all he had to do was stick it in there. You're going to have kids like that, and that's okay. All right? This is the Christian Kids Explore Science series. This is put out by Bright Ideas Press. I really like this series, too. We have used this over the years, just certain years. And here's why I love it. It is well organized, okay? I don't want to have to think about a subject I don't like. I don't want to have to put a curriculum together for a subject I don't like. I want to be able to just open it up and go. These lessons are brief enough to not be boring for a child so that you're not like, oh, great, you guys, I'm bored too, and I'm still having to read this to you. But they are meaty enough to be well worth the time you're going to take to do them. The hands-on stuff isn't silly. I hate that. I hate when there's like some hands-on thing and you're like, well, that was a waste of time or energy. And they aren't hard to find materials. So it's like, grab a cotton ball, you know, grab some red food coloring or whatever. It's not like stuff I have to go now all over town trying to find things. So it's stuff that's in my home that I can use. There are also printables for the kids to create a notebook, which is great. You know, graphs and things they can color and cut out and stuff like that. And then there's quizzes and reviews that you can print out easily that have the answers for you. And I say that now, and it seems sort of weird, but 20 years ago when we started homeschooling, there were actually some things that I bought that didn't have teachers' answers in them. Like, are you kidding me? And that was also like the very beginning. I don't even think Google, maybe Google wasn't, because we were using Yahoo. And so like, really, I've got to go and find all the answers to these? No, no, no. It's all there for you. These are created by homeschooling parents. That's the beauty of any kind of curriculum, I think, that's been created by home educators. They get it. You don't have gobs of time, particularly if you're like, I got to do this subject, and I just got to fit it in somewhere. You want to be able to grab and go. Okay. So if you have a really science-headed elementary student on your hands like I do, go to the Science Museum as often as you can if you guys have one close by. We happen to live right by San Francisco, which has an amazing exploratorium kids science museum. So we bought a family membership last year, and we committed to taking that kid in and letting him play with stuff all day long. So, you know, do that. Put up a periodic table on your wall. Let them, you know, go to the library. I'll do that. I'll say you need to pick a topic and then check out 5 books from the library on that topic to bring home this week. And he picks the topic, and, you know, it's dinosaurs or it's weather or it's whatever, and it just comes home and he just absorbs all those books for the week. And I don't have to do a thing. Lovely. All right. Let them touch and see and do as much as you can. If you have a river nearby, go spend a day on the river. Let them explore. For us, you know, the beach is fairly nearby. We tide pool a lot. We do those kind of things. It's not what I would choose to spend my time doing because I'm not a sciencey girl, but I've got a child right now who just loves it. And obviously, too, high schooler and a college-age kid that somehow loves science. So there you go. All right. There, here we go. Lots more to check out. If you're wanting this, grab a picture of it. I can come back to it, too, at the end of the session. I'll have these, actually, for each grade level that I'm going to be talking about. But I don't want to overwhelm you, but at the same time, I want to give you all of these, you know, different options that really work well for a mom who doesn't love science. I'll wait for the pictures, and then we'll move on. Got it? All right. Okay, so let's move on to junior high. Now, junior high actually is way better than it used to be because there are some really great things that have come on the market for junior high age science. And what you're trying to accomplish in junior high is to sort of bridge the gap between elementary and high school. So you had a lot of fun. It was casual. It was laid back in elementary school. Now you got to hit junior high, and you really want to give them vocabulary. Because I think the hardest thing about a subject that we don't like is that math comes with its own vocabulary. Science comes with its own vocabulary. English grammar comes with its own vocabulary. And if you can just get them used to hearing those things, or you can say something like, sum simply means what you get when you add this and this together, right? But we gave it this name, and now you're confused. When I say sum, all I'm saying is 4 plus 2, and what that is 6. That's the sum, right? So it's just all this new vocabulary, and we want to get them used to that. So, for our family, what has worked really well is this series. It's the God's Design series. I'm trying to think. Oh, Answers in Genesis puts this out. That's who it is. Bye. And I am sure you'll be able to find it in a booth somewhere here because it's fairly popular. Answers in Genesis, which is aig.org. Thank you. I was looking to see if it was org or com. I think you're right. Yeah, okay. So this is actually for grades 1 through 8, but for us, we have used it in 7th and 8th grade. I either chose there's 4 series here. I either chose the series that I thought the child would love, or they helped choose it. The world of plants, human body, world of animals, we'd really covered a lot of that in elementary school, so I skipped that. But in junior high, they needed to have like the machines and technology and inventions and things, and then properties of ecosystems and properties. So that's kind of what we focused on in junior high, depending on the kid and where they were in their science. It is really great. I think one of the reasons I love it is because it bridges the gap between elementary, where you're having to sort of feed them a lot of stuff, and high school, where they can be on their own. They're sort of on their own with this. So I would say you need to read the chapter, come back to me, I'll give you the questions you need. They're done. I don't have to come up with them. They do the questions. And it also has experiments that I could let them loose and go do. So experiments like, I remember my son doing one during the machines in motion, where he had to get a small ball and find something and, measure its velocity. See, I don't even know the word. Like, what is that? Velocity and stuff like that. And so he's doing it, and he's writing the chart, and he thought it was really, really, really cool. And I'm hands off of that. Okay, so that's been very helpful for us. Other possibilities for junior high science. Some of these are going to be the same as the other list. I would say Signs and Seasons by Classical Astronomy is just great fun to delve into if you like looking at the night sky and space and all that kind of stuff. Everybody good? Oh, nope, keep going. Is this more than you knew was out there of science? I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to know what's out there because I don't like it. All right, so on to high school science. How many of you are jumping into high school science coming up here? Okay, are you scared? All right. Okay, so I think this is what intimidates a lot of us, because the thought of dissecting things or having to have that higher math, all of that, the lab requirement, how do you do that? I don't have a chemistry lab in my home, so how are we possibly going to do this thing? All right? So, here are some things. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you my great secret. Apology of Science was not a good fit for my family, okay? So, I've actually told the apology with people who I love that. Like, I don't love your high school science. Okay. And they're awesome and gracious and whatnot. It was not a good fit for my kids. And I don't even know that I could tell you why. It just hasn't been. And the reason I'm telling you this is that it could be a beautiful fit for your family, but I had to find something else. So now what do you do as a Christian homeschooler if you want a solid high school science program and apology is not a good fit? So we had to really figure this one out. Instead, for us, this series right here on the left, Biology 101, Science Shepherd Biology, which I'll talk a lot more about here coming up, the Great Courses, and then BJU Press's, we ended up using their physics for a kid who wanted to do physics in his high school years. Okay, so Biology 101, if you have a non-science kid, Biology 101 is a great route to go. It is all of the basics they are going to need to know in biology, okay? It says 101 for a reason. It is not honors biology. It is not junior college biology. It's a survey course, all right? But if you have a kid who is never, ever again going to be going into that field, it could be very good, all right? That's actually my 21-year-old. That's what he used for biology. And he's majoring in communications, and he's literally a professional lifeguard. That's what he does. He manages pools in Phoenix, Arizona as his job while he's in college. So didn't need a big, in-depth high school biology course. Science Shepherd Biology. This is the one I really want to tell you about. But I got to find my notes to make sure I'm telling you everything about it. Okay, Science Shepherd was created by a homeschooling dad who is a medical doctor. So he has had a lot of science in his schooling background and loves that, okay? But the reason I say you need to know he's a homeschooling dad is because it is created beautifully for the homeschool environment. There is a DVD that has all the labs on it, okay? There are schools around our country now, public and private, that's how they're doing labs. So it is totally okay for you to have your kids watch labs and do it that way online, or by DVD. All right? Schools that have had to cut funding because they can't provide lab stuff, that's what they're doing. It is okay to go that route. Okay? If, however, you have a very sciencey high school student like mine, mine are taking junior college class, junior college science classes while they're in high school. That's their choice, and it's been a good fit for them. It has opened up lots of wonderful conversations about science and evolution and what the Bible teaches and all of those things, and they're solid kids. So we talk about it, and they talk about different theories and what we're seeing in science and what God says, and it's beautiful for high schoolers to have those conversations. They need to have them. Okay, other things about it that are wonderful, everything is laid out for you, homeschooling mom. You don't have to read any of the material because he provides you with a summary of each chapter. That means you can read the summary in 5 minutes, and you can turn to your high schooler and say, all right, let's talk about this. Tell me what you learned about this. Tell me, oh, and then tell me what the three steps of this are. How do you classify animals? How does that work? Tell me about that. You didn't have to read it all and know it all and absorb it all, but you have the summary right there written for you, okay? All tests, all reviews, everything ready to go for you. Very easy to follow, okay? He has also written, he has another one that just came out. I want to say it's natural science, so it's geared toward junior hires as well, and I'd look into that one. I've been very, very happy with that, okay? Teaching Company. These are courses that are offered online, or you can listen to them, or you can get the DVDs. They're taught by great teachers from Ivy League schools, places like Stanford and Georgetown, and they create worksheets and all the things your kids might need. Obviously, they're not accredited, but hello, these are the courses that they're offering at these schools, and your kids can watch and learn from those. There is actually a high school chemistry class offered by the great courses that one of my kids did. It was excellent. And what this company is doing is it is culling from the best teachers and the best lecturers all over the country. So this is a high school chemistry teacher from a high school, who's an older man who'd been doing it forever and whose students adore him. And I could see why. I thought, yeah, my kids are lucky to have him and not me doing this. So great courses are a good option as well. And then I mentioned BJU Press. Is everybody familiar with Khan Academy? Yes, khanacademy.org. All right, so lots of science on there as well, lots of things to explore, talk about, and go that route, okay? It's khanacademy.org. It was founded by Salman Khan is his name. He wanted to give his cousins a lots of help in their education, so he just started putting these videos up. I want to say it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It was the site was so homemade. It was funny. But he has a great knack for how he teaches things. And he believes that everybody should have a free education. So then the Bill Gates Foundation started partnering with him, and they're funding it. So now there are so many materials on there. You're not going to agree with everything, but there's so much great stuff on there. There's art history where the experts actually are at the sites and talking about the Mona Lisa while you're watching it, and they're telling you about it. You know, all kinds of great things, but their science on there is very helpful. My husband actually is a dentist, and he wanted to brush up on, I think he told me it was like molecular biology or something. Again, I don't know. And he went through the whole course on Khan Academy just to give himself a whole brush up on that topic. So good stuff there if you have really sciencey kids. So I think in our experience now, graduating three, and now I have these two in high school, one who's very sciencey, the key to doing high school science when you're not a lover of science is to really keep your options open, okay? This is a fantastic time to be homeschooling. We have so many options that we didn't have 15, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. So all of the online options, there are great online courses. Memoria Press offers online courses. Veritas Press offers online courses. Many, many more. Those are just two that popped into my head. There are all kinds of options. If junior college is not an option for you because you don't like the environment, there are other options. There is stuff out there. You're not floating out there alone, okay? All right. So I am not a rep for any of these companies. I just want to tell you. I don't make money off of any of this. I don't. These are just the things that have worked really well for us. Here you go. This is what's on Khan Academy right now in the sciences. I don't work for Khan Academy either. I just love their stuff. Actually, my eighth grader is going to do a brush-up pre-algebra online on Khan Academy this summer. It's free. Why not? Take advantage of that. All right, and then here's the high school resources. Lots of them the same as the others, but a few others thrown in there. High school science, right down there at the bottom. All right. Okay, so this is where you can find me. My husband and I do a podcast called Homeschooling in Real Life. Somebody told me that's Indy Racing League. So us from California didn't know that, but it stands for In Real Life. We talk about a lot of topics that you might not find at a homeschooling convention. We like to say that. So we've hit on topics like what homeschooling does to a marriage, how to talk to your kids about sex. I like off the top of my head can't think about it. We've talked about homeschooling with dyslexia. We've talked about African Americans and homeschooling, all kinds of topics that we hit. Our Monday podcast episode coming up this Monday is called Homeschooling in Alaska, and we interviewed a family that took their kids on the road and drove through Alaska for 3 months and homeschooled that way. So just all kinds of fun things. If you're into podcasts, you can find that on iTunes. And my main site that's been around for lots of years is preschoolersandpeace.com. So just some places you can find me if you have questions. But the last thing I want to leave you with today is a great quote from R.C. Sproul Jr.'s book called When You Rise Up. I don't know if you guys are familiar. It was kind of popular a few years ago, but I don't see it so much anymore. He's talking about homeschooling kids and feeling like you are not equipped to do that. And he says, the teacher need not always be superior to the student in whatever is taught. Every major league baseball team employs at least one batting coach. But there isn't a single batting coach who is a superior hitter to the people he's coaching. If there were a better hitter than the players he teaches, he would be the one playing, right? Tiger Woods has a coach who isn't a better golfer than Tiger Woods and isn't even good enough to play on the tour. I love that because it reminds me that I don't need to be all things to my kids. I can't be. So I'm going to major on the things I'm really, really good at and teach them history because I love that. And we're going to talk about music, and I take them to the opera, and we do all those things that I'm passionate and I love, and they're going to get a really good writing education and all of that. And then I'm going to take the stuff I'm not good at or I don't love, the science and the math, and I'm going to find a way and ask God to show me how to do that well. It isn't me that's doing it well. I outsource a lot as I can, online mostly. But don't be afraid to say, you know what, this isn't my wheelhouse, and it's okay. Find a girlfriend and swap. I'll teach your kids writing, you teach my kids science, okay? It's all right to have that freedom and say, I don't need to be an expert in this, okay? So my hope is that I freed you up today to breathe a little bit, but I may have confused you somewhere along the way as well. Let me know if you have any questions, and we can troubleshoot together. Yes. The high school resources. Oh, also, I'll put this up later. This is more workshops coming up, but here's high school. I'm familiar enough with most of these, so if you have a question about any specific curriculum, I can probably give you enough information. Yeah. Yes. These would be all high school. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Even if you're reading aloud to her, it's too wordy. Okay. Fun. Yeah. Very cool.
So, how do you get away from it? What curriculum would you recommend? Because I need step by step.
Okay. You want something to give you, yeah.
Okay.
She did say Magic School Bus, yeah.
I have a bunch of free Magic School Bus books online. Search for Magic School Bus.
That would be fun. And then if she did the lap books with them, that would be really cool. Ah, there you go. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. That's great. The Magic School Bus, yeah. Also, are you familiar with Marianne Sunderland? Does that name sound familiar? Okay, so Marianne Sunderland. Okay, you're okay. Oh, okay, so you need to know about my friend Marianne. Marianne has 8 children. She's also Californian, like me, so we hang out. They have 8 kids, and 6 of them are dyslexic. And 2 of those dyslexic kids, the oldest of them, Zach Sunderland, was the youngest person to sail around the world, okay? So he did that at 16. He's been surpassed now, but at the time, which was, I think, maybe 7 years ago, he was the youngest person to sail around the world on his own. And then his sister tried it a year later. She capsized in the Indian Ocean, so she didn't make it. She's alive. She's actually a mommy now. But she tried it a year later. They grew up sailing. They grew up on sailboats. You know, this was their life. But Marianne has a site called Homeschooling with Dyslexia. Yeah, so that's Marianne. Boy, I'll tell you, I have a special needs child who it's all kinds of things going on in his brain. But she's been so good for me. She's got so many great hands-on kind of ideas and things like that. If you were to go to Homeschooling with Dyslexia and message her and say, Kendra told, you know, she would be all over helping you and telling you specific science stuff. Yes. Yep. Yep, yep. Okay. Oh, you've got to talk to Marianne. Yeah.
So if I could message her and just say what she's
Yes. She would totally help you. In fact, she worked for a long time with Reading Horizons because it's an Orton Gillingham company. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's great. Yeah. Anything else? Do you guys feel a little bit, at least with elementary science, like I can do this? It's not that hard? Yeah? Good. Yeah. Yeah, and I would just take advantage of everything out there for those science-headed kids. We had this really cool thing in our town that opened up this year. A family created this business. It's like a maker's lab. And so you can come in, and they've got saws and solderers, and I don't even know what stuff is, but like laser things and whatever, and you can come in and create things and build things. And so we're going to buy a little membership for that kid. You know, I can't do that stuff, but I can get him to places and people that can. Yeah. In rural, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. And the internet is a gift. I mean, I really do. I'm so thankful for that, you know, in this day and age, to be able to say, okay, we can't go to this place, or we don't have a planetarium, or we don't, you know, but we can go online. And I know I don't remember which. If you Googled live penguins, like one of the science centers in, like, has a camera that's on, it might be the Monterey Bay Aquarium actually, and you can watch the penguins live, like what the penguins are doing, and you know, just fun things like that. Oh yeah, live cameras. Oh cool. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Google Cardboard.
Yeah.
I gotta write that down. That's
you
very
can
cool.
Download it on your phone.
Yeah.
You can see all kinds of historic and science.
Yeah, that's super great. And I would say exposing your kids as much as you can, whatever that looks like. I mean, the library thing is huge for us. We have a big bin on our fireplace in the living room that's just for library books. And I used to joke that was how I covertly taught. Because I tell you, my kids have learned more from library books than they ever do from me. And so I would just go and pick a topic and bring them all home and dump them in the bucket and wouldn't even tell the kids, but then I'd find them all sprawled out, you know, like, oh, look at this one, read this one, you know. I didn't do that. So, you know, that's another good idea. Just grab a bunch of books from the library or somebody's garage sale, you know, book sale or something like that. Grab those books and throw them in a bucket. We have a lot of science books in our home because my hope was that they would grab those things. We have all the Magic School Bus books and, you know, all that kind of thing because I wanted to light a little fire in them. And somehow, you guys, I got these two biology majors. So it works. It works. God will cover the areas he needs you to be teaching your kids. He really will. He's faithful like that. So anything else? All right. Well, I hope that was helpful. I think we stopped a little early, but that's okay. You're welcome.